Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to today's show, Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen. I'm a public speaking mentor, coach, and author. I mentor introverts, authors, advocates to have the confidence to step up and share their message with those who need to hear it. So I'm all about having the skills to share your passion, your message, your product, your service with the people that you want to share it with. Just the numbers to check in. If you're in North America and you want to call in on 646-716-7979. If you're outside of North America, just follow the link, which is tobtr.com/94999973. If you've got your questions for our guest today, you can use either of those or you can PM me on Facebook and I'll pass your questions on. Our guest speaker today is Kathy Ashton, a nutritional medicine practitioner who will be sharing how we can understand the negative and positive impact of food on our bodies. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm very well, Trish. How are you?
Absolutely on top of the world, at least in our part of Australia. We don't have any flooding at the moment.
Well, that's nice to hear. We're freezing cold down here in Melbourne.
Oh, well, it's nice and warm in Brisbane or in Morayfield. I'll be coming back to speak with you shortly, Kathy. We're just going to do a little bit of my frequently asked a question, and then we'll come back and we'll have a great discussion.
Lovely. So I look forward to it.
So do I. We're going to talk to Kathy about her philosophy, Food is Medicine. So I'm looking forward to that. As usual, the first thing we're going to look at is our frequently asked question that people send in to me. And the question that we're going to be looking at today is, why is making eye contact with your audience so important? And that's a very good question. I'll put this, one of my favorite little sayings, it's an English proverb, and it says, the eyes are the window of the soul. That, I think, sums it up completely. When you do eye contact with your audience, or with your client, or anybody that you're speaking with, it involves your audience in your speech. It allows you to monitor the response to your speech, and it really does allow the audience to see into your soul and decide if you are sincere about your message. So establishing eye contact is really important. It allows the people to think, well, they're speaking to me, and if they're speaking to me, then I'm going to sit here and listen to what is being said. So how can we go about establishing good eye contact? Well, a couple of things you can do. Know your material. If you do speak to an audience and you've got an audience out there, know your material so that you don't have to read it. If you do need to read some parts, make sure that you do look up at times and involve the audience with what you're saying. If you're looking down and you're reading your notes the whole time, you are disconnecting yourself from the audience and they can't become part of what you're saying. Establish a personal bond with your listeners. And one of the things I do is probably, you know, if I've got time before I get up to speak, is to have a conversation with some of the people who are in the audience. Then I feel that I now know them and I could be speaking to them. And look at each person in your audience. If you've got a small group, you can just make sure that you look at them for a couple of seconds, hold their attention and then move on. If you've got a large group of people, you can just look at sections of your audience. And that optical illusion steps in and the people in those sections think you are looking directly at them. And the other thing that you do is you monitor visual feedback. So if you are looking and doing the right things and making that eye contact with your audience or the people that you're speaking to, you can check to see whether they are actually taking on board what you're saying. If they're looking puzzled or frowning, then maybe they haven't understood something you've said, or maybe it's you and they're reflecting your facial expressions back at you. So you need to smile at them and see if that changes. If they smile back, then maybe it was because you were concentrating so hard and frowning and your facial expression was being reflected back to you. If they're still frowning and they're looking a bit like they're not quite sure where you're going, then you need to go back and maybe go over some of those points or check with them. And if it's a one-on-one conversation, you can easily pick up from that if they're understanding what you're saying, because you could be giving them some instructions and you could just reconfirm that they're getting it. So, yes, people, eye contact is important to ensure that you are making that connection with your audience, to ensure that they understand what you're saying. And that English proverb, the eyes are the window of the soul. If you want to share your message with the people, let them see what's in your heart and your soul and make that eye contact. I'll be sharing tips, techniques, and strategies each show, as usual. So if there is something that you would like answered, you can email me on info@trischel.com.au. That's trischel.com.au. Then tune into the next show to hear your answer. And, of course, you can always PM me on Facebook and put those questions into there and I'll bring them up on the next show. Now let's meet our guest, nutritional medicine practitioner Kathy Ashton. Kathy is based in Sandringham, Victoria, Australia. And as you heard, it's being a bit cold down there at the moment. She has a special knack of helping people understand how the food they eat directly impacts their bodies, both negatively and positively. Her specialty is treating thyroid disease, along with type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, multiple sclerosis, obesity, and many other issues. Kathy's philosophy is food is medicine. And as Hippocrates, the father of medicine, said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. She believes nearly all disease begins with the gut. So heal the gut by eating food that heals, not harms, and you are well on your way to healing your body. I'm really looking forward to hearing more about this. Her passion is helping people take control over their lives, heal what ails them, find the energy they need to live their dreams, and do this while eating loads of yummy food. Now, if that's what she can do for you, I'm going to be buying into this quick time. Kathy won a silver award at the 2016 International Women in Business and Profession Awards for a startup in 2015. She was one of two Australian women who won awards in that, and the only one in Victoria. So congratulations to Kathy for that. Welcome, Kathy. I'm very much interested in discussing with you how you could have yummy food that still is good for you. How are you, Kathy?
I'm well, thank you, Trish. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're breaking up a bit, but that could be me. Listeners, as you know, sometimes my internet connection is a little bit wonky coming out of Morayfield in Australia. So we may have some little bits of breakup and technical difficulties throughout the show. Just bear with us. Kathy has vital information to share and we will be getting that information to you. So Kathy, how did you get into nutritional medicine?
Ah, very good question. So I've always been as a remedial therapist many, many moons ago. But back in 2003, I was diagnosed with cirrhosis. So we went and had lots of medical and we saw lots of specialists and he was eventually put on all sorts of drugs. episodes were not really decreasing, and the disease was very active, and he was pretty unhappy with it. So one day he was just over it, and he said to me, "You should be able to fix this," because many, many years prior to that, I and fibromyalgia is very similar to chronic fatigue syndrome. And I myself was going down a very Western medicine model with lots and lots and lots of different drugs. Until one day I spoke to my rheumatologist and asked her if impact on this. I was a 30-year-old mum of three little babies, and she told me no, there was no support. I would just have fibromyalgia forever and needed to be on methotrexate for the rest of my life, and that was my so I went away and quit sugar because I was a bit of a sugar junkie at the time, and off all my medication, and I was pain free. So Chris thought to himself, surely I can food impacts on multiple sclerosis, so you need to fix it. So I took myself to university and went back and studied nutritional medicine. And
Kathy, I might just stop you just a little bit there. We are having big problems with the connection. You're dropping in and out, and I really want to hear what you've got to say. So what I'm going to ask you to do, and listeners, bear with us, apologies for this, we've got really bad weather down Melbourne and Victoria and South Australia at the moment in Australia, so I think it's connecting.
We've got a big storm.
The connection. Yeah, big storm. So what I'm going to ask you, Kathy, is if you could just log out, and then come back in, and we'll see if that improves the connection. Yeah, just disconnect you. I'll disconnect you out, and then get you to. I'll hang you up, and I'll get you to come back in again, and we'll see if that improves. Thanks so much, Kathy.
Okay,
people. Sorry about that. At the moment, we do have some really bad weather in Victoria, where Kathy is. There's some bad storms coming in, and you may have heard on. Global news, I don't know whether it's reached over in America, but those around Australia know that South Australia had a complete blackout down there for the whole state a couple of days ago, and they're still experiencing bad weather, and that bad weather's tipped over into Victoria. So we're hoping we're going to get a better connection back with Kathy, because I'm really, really fascinated to see and hear from her and to hear from her how our food and what we eat can really help us and can affect our whole health. And we hear a lot about it. So we've got Kathy back, and we'll see how we can go.
You sound much better now.
Hi, that's better. Okay, how about we take back up into how you got into nutritional medicine for us again?
All right, so I got into it because of my husband, who was diagnosed with MS in 2003. And I myself had used food many, many years prior to that to save myself from fibromyalgia and the Western medicine model of lots of drugs. And my rheumatologist told me that food had absolutely no impact on fibromyalgia. But I was a sugar junkie, and I gave up sugar, and within a month I was completely healed, and I had no pain and was able to get off all my medication. So Chris, my husband, decided that if I could do that with fibromyalgia, surely we could do food impacted on multiple sclerosis. So thinking it was a little bit more serious, I decided to go back to university and study nutritional medicine, and fell in love with it. And that's what I've been doing ever since.
Wow. It's amazing, those impacts and turning points in our life. There's something like that suddenly has changed your life and launched you into a completely new era for you, a new pathway. So how do you work with a patient?
I've ever done.
I bet. I mean, I've met you, and I've seen you, and I've been following your what you've been doing, and it's just absolutely amazing. So how do you work with a patient when you look at somebody and someone comes to you? What sort of happens? How do you process through?
So when a patient comes to me, generally speaking, when most patients come to me, they've been through many, many medical trials. Like, they've been to lots of doctors, they've seen lots of specialists, and they're just not getting better. And their medicine is just getting stronger and stronger. So most people begin to, after they've been diagnosed with an illness, begin to think, maybe food or the food that I'm eating could have an impact. So as we're hearing more and more about food and how it does impact on our health, on the radio and the television and other media outlets, people are beginning to think, maybe I need to see a nutritionist of some description. So by the time they come to me, they've usually had a long journey. And then what I do is I sit down and I listen to all the symptoms. I listen to their health story. I listen to how they've, you know, what the journey has been for them. And then we figure out how we're going to heal that using food. And I believe that all, especially autoimmune diseases, they begin within the gut. So we do some gut healing. We do some liver cleansing. And then we just go back to what I call baseline. I take the body back and cleanse it out and figure out, take the food that they are currently eating and getting rid of it. So I know that the disease process that they have been left with is maybe genetic, and it's got nothing to do with the food they're eating. But surprisingly, what I find is once we clean up the diet, most people's symptoms go away. And if they don't, well, then we can go, hey, well, you know what? This is something that is real and true, and now maybe we do need a bit of medication to actually heal that. But until we've got the diet completely normal, we've got the body back to healing itself, we've got rid of the inflammation within the body, all of those things, we really are at a loss. And what Western medicine often does is just keeps putting in different medication over medication over medication. So every new symptom, you get a new medication to cope with that symptom. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, and those medications often have complications which stuff up every other part of your body as well.
Yeah, so exactly. I believe that the body is very much an ecosystem. And so whatever you put into it is going to affect every single cell within that ecosystem. So if you've got an issue with your heart, for instance, and you take heart medication, then that's going to affect everything else. It'll affect your thyroid, it'll affect your brain, it affects your gut. You know, there's so many other things.
Have you got a case study, perhaps, or some examples of what you've been doing for people? We don't need to mention their names, but some samples so our listeners can get an idea of the different things you do and what happens when you maybe change one or two parts of what you're eating and the amazing outcome.
Oh, my pride and joy. I've got a beautiful patient at the moment. She's absolutely marvelous. She came to me very distressed and in enormous amount of pain. She has polymyalgia rheumatica, PMR, and she's been in terrible, terrible, terrible pain. And so much so that she couldn't walk anymore. She hasn't been able to sleep, hasn't slept a full night for years, is in terrible pain. And the medication just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, trying to fix that. She was feeling very depressed, very upset. So she walked into my office and pretty much said that I needed to show her a new way, or she was potentially thinking about checking out. So she gave me 6 weeks. I said, let me do this in 6 weeks and let's see what you do. I have a 42-day program, so let's put you on the program and see what happens. Well, within the first week, I got emails telling me that the pain had subsided and that she was able to walk 20 to 30 minutes. Within the next week, the pain medications were being dropped pretty much completely. And she was beginning to sleep the entire night. after 6 weeks, she was having 5 to 6 nights solid sleep, which she'd never experienced in years and years. Her pain was pretty much non-existent, a little bit at the end of the day, but not a lot. She was off all her medication, and she's back at work. So,
wow.
So she followed everything that I said. She did everything that I asked her to do, and it just makes my heart absolutely sing to hear that she's got her life back and her vitality back, and she's just going to continue to improve and improve and improve. That's pretty exciting, Trish, really exciting.
That is just amazing. So can you share what or two things you did with her? What was it that you changed or added?
Okay, so we looked at what she was currently eating, and her diet consisted of many animal products. She thought she was on a pretty good wicket, to be honest with you. She was eating meat and 3 veg, which, you know, we've been told is really good for us. So I had to explain to her, and I told her all about the gut bacteria and how pretty much if we've got healthy gut bacteria, then we are going to be healthy ourselves. If you kind of think of the human body as the beehive and the gut bacteria is all the bees, the worker bees, and we know that if a hive is unhealthy, then the bees will all die. If the pollen around the bees, where the worker bees go out and they go to nectar and they get whatever food they get from the surrounding areas and they bring it back to the hive, if they bring back things that are detrimental to the hive, then the hive does not thrive. Well, it's exactly the same as the human body. So what I explained to my patient was that we needed to stop fueling the gut bacteria with bad food and with food that causes inflammation, and we need to actually change that and give these gut bacteria really healthy food, food that it loves to eat, food that allows it to thrive and therefore allows the immune system to thrive and it allows for inflammation to go away. So it gets rid of the inflammation through the body. All disease processes are inflammation-based. So if we get rid of that inflammation, then we are going to allow the body to do what it does naturally. Our bodies aren't designed to kill us. They're designed to heal us. They want to make us well. They want to give us lots of energy and allow us to be happy. So, but it all depends on what you feed them. So I had to sit down with her and I went through the fact of what the bad bacteria eat, which is meat and dairy and eggs and oil and fat, processed foods, sugar, and they thrive on that. And if you are feeding them that form of diet, then they just love it. The bad bacteria will just keep doing what it does and you'll just keep getting sicker and sicker. So we had to sort of go back to the beginning and go, all right, well, we're going to ditch all of that sort of stuff and we're now going to put in really good, healthy food and the food that the good bacteria like to eat. And they like to eat fiber. That's their favorite food, anything with fiber in it. So we're looking at vegetables, we're looking at fruit, we're looking at legumes and beans and all of those sorts of yummy foods. So a whole food plant-based diet. So we went back to that. We went back to the way we used to eat trillions of years ago, with lots of tubers, so potatoes. Potatoes are my favorite food on the entire planet. They're also the gut bacteria's favorite food, especially cold roasted potatoes. They absolutely love it. They thrive on it. So that's what we went back to. We went back to bringing up all the gut bacteria that are plant eaters and that allow us to be healthy. And that's what we did.
Wow. I mean, that is so fascinating, and I'm going to go back to it because I will confess right here and now, I am not a very big vegetable eater. So I was listening to your, I know, I'm in trouble. When I see you next, you're probably going to yell at me.
Never, but
because
yes.
I'm listening to your good body, you know, the good foods for the gut, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm in so much trouble because there's nothing there that I'm going to be able to eat. And then you've got to the potatoes. And if you'd seen me here listening to you, I think I actually went, oh my gosh, I could eat potatoes. I'm guessing though that potatoes shouldn't be actually in oil too much, or is that not a problem?
Yeah, no. So if we draw a line and we write good bacteria on one side and bad bacteria on the other, under the bad bacteria side, we are going to have fat or oils written on that, along with, you know, processed foods and things like that. So, and on the good bacteria, we have potatoes. So you can see that we can't mix the potato with the fat. But it goes a little bit even more than that. Potatoes and anything that comes from is a, what we call a starchy vegetable, starchy plant-based vegetables, so potatoes and beans and legumes and lentils, all of those sorts of things. If they will break down when we eat them, they go down into our stomachs, they just sit there for a while and get mushed up a bit, and then they go into the small intestine. And whilst they're in the small intestine, this is where they're going to be broken down and absorbed by the enterocytes, by the little intestine cells, and go. They'll break them down into minute little molecules called glucose or a form of sugar. And then that little molecule pops into the bloodstream where there's a little Uber boat, I like to call it a little transporter, a little Uber, and it jumps onto that and it gets packaged, it goes around to the liver. The liver's going to package it up and then send it off to wherever it needs it. Now, the brain's primary fuel is carbohydrate and glucose, so our bodies absolutely love any form of sugar or any form of glucose. So the potatoes get broken down. But here's the kicker. Now, that's all well and good, and we can use all those potatoes for energy. But as soon as we mix the potatoes, so we're going to take a potato and we're going to put olive oil all over it, and then we're going to put it in the oven and make roasted spuds or roasted potatoes, what happens is that our bodies are primarily fat storage machines. So it wants to store any form of free fat, a fat that has not attached to any form of fiber. And when we get these olive oils, because olive oil doesn't come hanging off a tree in bottles of olive oil, it comes in an olive itself that is attached to the fiber molecule, which makes them a wonderful health food. But when we destroy all that fiber, we just have pure fat. And then the body gets that pure fat and it wants to store it because it's scared that we might not be finding food tomorrow. You know, we are trillions of years old. So back in the days where food wasn't readily available, whenever we came across a fat source, we would store it in our fat cells just in case of times of famine. So now if we put sugar together from the potato and we put the free fat together with the olive oil and in our roasted potatoes, what we get is a combination of sugar and fat. Now, if you think about that, if you go into your kitchen and you take sugar, white sugar, and you take some fat, a knob of butter, and you cream it together, it's the basis of all desserts. So I like to think of any time I put a starchy carbohydrate like a potato with a free oil such as olive oil, whenever I put those together, I actually create a donut. I've got sugar and fat together, and it's the basis of all donuts. So when I go make my roast...
You are destroying my whole concept of potatoes here, Kathy.
I know. How cool is that? How cool is that? But this is why people say to me, I can't eat potatoes, they make me fat. Well, they don't, because I eat probably 10 to 20 potatoes a day, and let me tell you, I'm not fat. I've gotten very little excess weight on me, but I eat lots and lots of potatoes, but I never, ever combine it with an oil or a fat, a free oil or a free fat. So I don't put sour cream on my potato. I don't put cheese. I don't put butter. And now everybody's going, oh, my goodness, this woman is so boring.
I'm crying here, Kathy. I'm crying because those are the three things I love with my potatoes.
But it doesn't love you, Trish. It's terrible. It doesn't love you. So what we need... what we need to do is we need to learn how to put yummy toppings on top of our potatoes that don't contain free oil. And it's really interesting because if you just learn to eat potatoes, we eat them like apples. I cook them, I cool them down, and then I'll pick one up when I'm hungry. I had one before I started this call, just put a bit of salt on top of it, and there is my apple. It gives me all the energy, gives my brain the energy that I need, and they're just delicious, absolutely delicious. And I know that my body is going to use it as energy and is not going to use it as fat.
That sounds
Does that make sense?
So, absolutely, although I am crying over the butter and the sour cream.
I need to cook for you one day, Trish.
I've got tears going down my cheeks, if you could see me. I really have. So basically what you're doing with the potatoes, and we'll just finish this and we'll come back in a minute, is you're just putting them straight into the oven and cooking them with no oil, just straight in like that, and then dealing with them. Okay.
Yep. Look, that's it.
I'm just going to take a break because I need to do a station check here, and then we'll come back and discuss a few other aspects of food, nutrition, and gut health. So
wonderful.
Talk to you soon. We've been listening and speaking with Kathy Ashton, our nutritional medicine practitioner. And just a reminder, if you are outside North America and you want to call in with a question, or if you want to moan about the fact that you have just lost all those lovely toppings on top of your potato, the phone number is 646-716-7979. If you're outside North America and you're listening in and you've got a question, tobtr.com/949973, which is what you logged in with, and follow the prompts. Or you can send me a PM to Trish Springsteen on a Facebook and I'll pass your question on to Kathy. Well, we've been discussing nutritional medicine and how Kathy got into it as a nutritional medicine practitioner. We have sort of got sidetracked because I love my food. So we've been really talking about good food for the gut. Now, we've always heard about how trust your intuition, and it's being discussed quite a lot now. I think people are realizing that people will trust your intuition, and intuition starts in the gut. They say, hey, I've got a gut feeling about this. So it makes sense to me that if our brain is connecting so much with our gut, and we're being, you know, relying on, well, what does it mean, and going with our intuition, then it makes sense that if our gut isn't healthy, then maybe the intuition and the decisions that we're making is probably not so healthy as well. So it makes sense to have a look at getting some healthy gut and some healthy food in your body, so that your business decisions, your personal life decisions, and your whole life can be what you want it to be. So, Kathy, let's go a bit further forward this. You mentioned salt. Now, it's what's wondering, we have a lot of discussion out there about salt. We've got Himalayan pink salt and things that people say. Have you got any sort of thoughts on which is the best sort of salt for you?
My favourite is Himalayan rock salt. So the Himalayan or the ancient Celtic sea salts, they're the best. I don't particularly like table salt because it's way too highly processed. But having said that, if that's all you can get your hands on, then fine. And salt should be used as a condiment. Don't cook with it. We don't need to cook with it, because if you cook with it, you can't taste it, and often you can put too much in it. And if you've got a blood pressure issue or a heart problem or a kidney problem, it's definitely not what you want to do. But go right ahead and use it. I have it on the table. And if you want to put a sprinkling over whatever you're eating, then go right ahead and do it. Interesting what you were saying, Trish, about intuition. There was a research paper done in Israel, and they took a group of, they were actually prison wardens, and it was a parole board, and they looked. They looked at this parole board, and they wanted to know how their decisions were made, because they had a 70% chance of actually being paroled, but it depended upon the time of day that you were actually in front of the parole board. And they found this really unusual. But what it showed was is that when the brain was well fed, people were able to make decisions, and really good decisions. when the brain was not fed and was feeling hungry and we were feeling sort of deprived of food, then what happened is we could not make decisions. They were not making any decisions whatsoever. So the research paper came up with that we make our best decisions when our brain is fed and it needs to be fed with carbohydrate. So not fat, with carbohydrate. So if you've got some big decisions to make, especially from a business perspective, the best thing you can do is to have a bowl of oatmeal prior to making that, or a bowl of potatoes, or a bowl of rice, something like that. So you're clear and your brain is clear to make good decisions.
Now, that says a lot for having breakfast meetings.
Yeah.
Because you can have a really good bowl of oatmeal while you're having that breakfast meeting and making those decisions. It makes sense to me, although I do get a big tick because I don't cook with salt, so I'm really thankful that I somewhere on the line we have now connected and I can say I'm a very good person.
Oh,
I am so relieved about that because I thought we were going to get to the end of this and I really was going to be in a big, big trouble.
I just need to increase your vegetable intake.
Yes, well, we'll discuss that offline. What motivates you, Kathy? What really motivates you? We heard a little bit about the wonders that you have when you're dealing with your clients, but what else motivates you?
I'm completely motivated by seeing people heal. I have to tell you, it gets me out of bed knowing that I've got a new patient coming to see me and I'm going to make a difference in their life and they're going to heal. And the look on their face, the spring in their step, the first time they usually walk down my corridor into my office, their shoulders are down, their heads are down. And that breaks my heart. And then we sit there and by the time I see them again, their shoulders are back, their heads are high, there's a spring in their step. And that just makes me get up every morning and do what I do. I just love it. I'm very much a person who is in love with love and I love to love everybody up. So the more I can love you up, then the happier and more motivated I am.
I think that's a brilliant way to be motivated. And I think it's one that we all have when we see our clients changing, no matter what business we do or what service or product, when we can see that, I think that's what keeps those who are really loving their business in business is to see that motivation. That's absolutely brilliant.
I don't really feel like I'm in a business. I don't really feel like it's work. And I'm sure you're exactly the same, Trish, when you see your clients go up on stage and blossom. It just makes your heart sing.
Oh, it does. That's what it's all about. It's not about me, and I think, Kathy, you're going to say it's not about you. It's about the change that happens in your clients.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not about me, and I don't do the work. I'm just the guide, and I see myself as a guide or as a mentor or as a helping hand to hold on to someone as they're going through their healing journeys, because healing journeys can be, you know, for yourself, you know, if you came to see me, and which you will, I'll see you when I'm in Brisbane next, but when I take away all of those yummy foods and the look of horror on your face and the look of horror on people's faces where they go, you've just taken away everything that I love. But when I start replacing it and I say, just give it a week. That's all you need to do is do this for a week and the difference will be phenomenal within one short week and you'll have the motivation yourself to keep going. And when that happens, it's my job to guide and to alleviate all those fears that there's nothing I can eat and alleviate the fear that I'm going to be bored or hungry. When I've done all of that, then I've done my job the best I can. And, the patients are wonderful. It's just so wonderful. It's such a great journey.
Do you find your job hard in today's world, given, you know, fast food, and especially in America, not many people cook in America. I've been there several times, and a lot of, you know, the norm seems to be eating out. And here we do have a lot of fast food and a lot of things on it, and buying organic or getting some of those fresh foods is not always easier, and it can be expensive. So do you find that makes your job hard? Have you got some tips for people to be able to be healthy in today's world?
Yeah, look, it's not an easy road, especially the way I want people to heal, so whole food, plant-based and oil-free. It is a little bit more difficult, especially if eating out. But we've just come back from America. I've just been over there doing lots of speaking gigs and also attending some conferences, and I was there for a month and was over the moon at how many places there were that I could go and eat. That maybe weren't 100% kosher, but they were 98%, you know. There may have been a tad of oil in something. But, you know, we were just going to Chipotle and having beans and rice and all the salad stuff that goes on the top and a bit of guacamole, and it fitted the bill beautifully. There were spud bars that we could go to. There was a restaurant. We went to this amazing restaurant in Vegas because I was speaking in Vegas, and it had little icons. Instead of having the gluten-free icon and the vegetarian icon, they had a no-oil icon. So America's definitely leading the way in this sort of revolution about vegan food or whole food, plant-based food. Here in Australia, it's a little bit more difficult eating out, but it's all about the preparation. So in my program, I teach people how to be prepared, carry potatoes in your pocket. You can always eat rice when you're out. You can always have vegetables. Sushi is a great thing as long as there's no mayonnaise on it, because otherwise you just turn that into a seaweed-coated donut. So it's just a matter of being prepared. And in today's society, we're very short of time. But once I teach people how to do this and they see the benefit, then it's a decision. I believe that all decisions need to be informed. You need to make an informed decision. So when you're reaching for a piece of food, you need to understand what that food is going to do to you as a human being. Are you doing yourself a good job, a service? Are you putting in the right fuel into your Ferrari body? You know, if you had a Ferrari car, you're hardly going to go and put diesel into it. More than likely, you're going to use the very best premium fuel. And the problem is that our bodies are Ferraris, and we keep putting, you know, treating them like they're a jalopy and putting in really bad fuel into it. So it's just a matter of educating and allowing people to make informed decisions, and then giving them lots of hints and tips and showing them how to make snacks and all sorts of yummy things. I make amazing food, and it's great fun. It's good.
Oh, I think it sounds absolutely brilliant, even if I am now convinced that every time I look at something, I'm going to be seeing donuts, which is,
yes,
I think you have absolutely destroyed my whole perception in food right now, Kathy. I am so devastated.
And you know what pasta is? So pasta, for all of you that love pasta, so the pasta, again, is the carbohydrate, it's the sugary part, so that's going to break down in your body as sugar. And if you put a bolognese sauce on it or a carbonara sauce on it, then you've got fat. So now you've got slippery donuts.
Oh, my God. Do you know that? I love pasta, Kathy. You've destroyed my pasta. You have destroyed it. Your job is done, darling. You have managed to destroy all my conceptions of food in the last 20 minutes. Brilliantly done.
No, I haven't. It's fabulous because we eat pasta probably 3 to 5 times a week. My kids love pasta. But I put amazing sauces. I can still do it, but I just use a vegetable-based sauce. In bolognese, I take out the meat and put a lentil and then treat it exactly the same way. You know, if you're going to put red wine into your bolognese sauce, I still do that with my lentils, not a problem. Or I make a mushroom one, and it's just as delicious, except there's no fat in it. And then I can eat 5 bowls of it and I won't get fat. You can eat more.
Well, there has to be a good side, and there is a good side from what you're saying, because the good side is that you're going to be making better business decisions. You're going to be having a much better quality of life from what you're doing. If you look and speak to someone like Kathy Ashton, who is a nutritional medicine practitioner and has been discussing that with us today, You did touch them. My question to you was going to be, you've just got back from USA in speaking, and I just wondered if you wanted to share just a bit about, because this is where the whole change of being a traditional medicine and what you've been doing has taken you, to be able to go over to America and to be able to conferences, but to also speak. So you want to share just a little bit about your journey over there?
Yeah, so we started off we went down into Mexico, and I was teaching and speaking at a cancer clinic down in Mexico, which was incredible, because when you've got cancer, your diet really does need to be whole food, plant-based, and as oil-free as possible, so your body can heal and you're giving it the right nutrients. So that was fantastic. I spoke down there twice, which was terrific. And then we came up to Vegas, and I did some speaking in Vegas, which was super-duper good fun. I wasn't quite, you know, as big as Celine Dion. I'm not speaking it. So it was a private event, which was really good fun and well-received. And I find that everywhere I go, people want to know this sort of information. Well, what is healthy, and how can I eat lots of food and not put on weight, and how can I get rid of the inflammation out of my body and make my body move better, and how can I cure this disease or that disease? And it's always well received. And a couple of the things that I do besides speaking in big events is that I do cooking demonstrations as well. So I've got some very big ones coming up here in Australia in the next month. Where I'll be doing cooking demonstrations and teaching people about food that way. But it's also about, I like to feed people. So I do in-home events as well. So I go into people's homes, and if they gather together a group of their friends, I will come and cook for them, and then I will talk and educate them around nutrition as well. So I did a couple of gigs like that as well when I was in America. Went into people's private homes, and they had all their friends around, and we sat around and laughed and ate food, and I taught them about nutrition. And as I often say to people, though, when you do get me into your house, be very careful, because once I teach you, you can't unlearn it. And so donuts become the big thing in your head.
Oh, they're already there, Kathy. I can tell you that now. You've managed to implant the donut image brilliantly in my head.
Good, good.
We're running out of time very soon, but a couple of other things I wanted to talk to you about. The cooking demonstrations, I did want to bring that up. I think that is brilliant that you're not only sort of telling us about it and maybe speaking and talking about it, but you're giving practical concepts that we can actually get in. Do you want to do a little bit more about how did you get into doing the cooking demos?
How I got into it was basically my patients were all saying, I don't know what to do. How do I do this? So I wrote a cookbook. I've just got a little cookbook that I wrote, and that was the beginning of it. And then they were saying, can you show me what to do? So I said to one client, this was a few years ago, I said to them, look, get a couple of your friends around and I'll come to your house and show you. And which they did. It's a bit like party plan, if you like, you know, going to a Tupperware party, but you're coming to a nutrition party. And people love it because it shows that it's easy, it's tasty. I can make a beautiful creamy sauce to go over a potato, and it tastes amazing. Or I can make a beautiful cream to go over fruit. Are all made out of cashew nuts. They're a little high in calories, but, you know, they're fun. And it becomes not scary. So people sit back and go, I can do this. I can actually do this. And I want to give it a go. And I empower them, basically. That's what I'm about, empowering people.
I think that's a very valuable concept and part of what you do. When you be able to show people and they can actually see how to do it themselves, it takes that fear away, and it answers a lot of those questions about, well, how can, this is too big for me, this is a big change, how can I possibly do it? So by coming in and doing the demonstrations like that, you are giving them, as you said, empowerment. I think that's wonderful, wonderful concept. We're getting close. I just wanted to ask you one final question that I ask all my guests on the show, and that is, what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
Just say that last bit again.
What do you think makes a great speaker and why?
Okay, so being a speaker myself and going on stage and listening to lots of speakers, I think authenticity. So the more genuine you are, the more you know, so you're standing up there and if you like bearing your soul and you're speaking from your heart, you're not speaking from some scripted, somebody else's script, if that makes sense to you. I think if you stand up there and you show the audience who you are, they connect with you and they fall in love with you. And if they don't, well, then it doesn't matter either. But I think the more authentic you are, the more you allow yourself to be yourself when you're standing up on stage, the more you connect with your audience, the better experience it is for them and the better experience it is for you. And I believe that a speaker's role is to take people on an emotional journey, to give them an experience. And that experience is the experience of you, who you are and what you stand for and what your message is. And that's what I try to do when I'm on stage, and I hopefully think that I do it quite well.
I think you do. I think you do because you are so very genuine, and we've been able to actually hear that and in this last 30 minutes that we've been talking, which has gone by so very fast.
Yeah, it has.
You do share your journey, and you are very passionate about health and about making sure that we're looking after our bodies. And, yep, our bodies are Ferraris in all different shapes and sizes, Ferraris, but they are Ferraris. And we should be looking after them and looking after them well.
Yeah.
Where can people find you if they want to know more or want to work with Kathy?
They can find me at flourishnutritionalmedicine.com.au. So they can find me there. That's my website. If you're coming from in America or overseas, if you're out of Australia, best to email me on Kathy@flourishnutritionalmedicine.com.au and we can work out how we can do it. I Skype people all over the world. That's not a problem. We'll always sort out a timing that works. You can go on my Facebook page, which is just Flourish Nutritional Medicine. And that's pretty much all. You can find me on LinkedIn at Kathy.D.Ashton, I think it is, or just Kathy Ashton, I think it is. On LinkedIn.
And if they want to get a copy of that cookbook, is that for sale or is that just something that you wrote for your clients? Or
no, you can definitely go online and purchase that, especially if you're in Australia, you can do that because it's all set up for Australia. If you are out of Australia, I would really love it if you could just email me first and we'll figure out because there's a unfortunately Australia Post is charges a lot to send things to America, but if you would like a copy of it, we can work it out how we can do that and how we can get it posted to you. You just need to be able to pay the postage. My husband's trying to set up an international, because we're now going international, my business, we need to be able to do that. But if you just email me in the meantime, we'll sort out how we can get you a copy of it. It's a recipe book that's just for every day. It's an everyday recipe book, so it's for basically, you know, it's about 30 different recipes in it that are just for you to eat at any time of the day. There's snacks in it, there's things that you can do for breakfast, things you can do for lunch and dinner, but you can also have your dinner recipes at lunchtime and at breakfast time. It doesn't really matter. It's just your everyday staples, and if you get those down pat, then you're home and hosed. So I usually say to people, eat out of my cookbook for a month and let's see how you feel. And it's amazing how well people feel. I had one client do it. She bought my cookbook. I just said flippantly, she heard me speak at a gig that I was doing. And I said, just eat out of my cookbook for a month. So she ate out of the cookbook for a month and she went to the doctor's to get something. And she said to her doctor, the doctor wanted to weigh her. And she went, oh, you better weigh me. And the doctor just almost, her mouth dropped down to the floor because she'd lost 14 kilos and she hadn't even known how she did it.
Wow. Very good.
Yeah,
there you go, people. Get Kathy's book. Kathy, it's been a delight to be speaking with you this morning and today in my show. We've covered a variety of things and I think we could probably sit here and talk for another hour. Thank you so much for coming on.
That's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Trish, for having me, and go forth and flourish.
Absolutely. Now, before I close off, as usual, I finish with a quote. And the quote that I'm sharing with you today is by Buddha. And it goes, "To keep the body in good health is a duty. Otherwise, we shall not be able to keep our mind strong and clear." And that's what we've been talking about today. We've been talking with Kathy Ashton, nutritional medicine practitioner, and we've been talking about how good food can help us have a much better body. But more importantly, I think it can help us be able to be who we want to be, to make clearer decisions. And all of that flows on to have a happier family life and to have a more successful business. So if you need to contact me at any time, you can get me on info@trishell.com.au. You've been listening to Coach and Fire Radio Show and my show, Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. You can connect with me on Facebook. It's Trishell Innovative Communication Training. Or you can put in Trish Springsteen, a look for the lady wearing purple. You really can't miss me, because if you haven't realized it yet, purple is my favorite color. If you'd like to have me come and speak at an event of yours, excuse me, or MC an event, or even to have a 15-minute Skype discovery session with me, go to my website, trishspringsteen.com, and book in for that. I hope you have had a great time. I have, learning all about food, nutrition, and health, and I am now going to go off for the next few weeks, seeing donuts everywhere. Until next time, and we speak, I'll see you on my next show. Hope you all have an awesome week, an awesome day, or an awesome evening, depending wherever you are. Until next time.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.